This is Todd Wright, and this is the Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, proud supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments and the Todd Wright family of podcasts for some time now. When you need legal assistance, call Brandon Legal Group for a free consult. They are a full-service law firm, and you need not live, nor work, nor have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida, to call Brandon Legal Group. They service the greater Tampa Bay area, 844-4BLG-4ME, 844-4BLG-4ME. The Todd Wright Toddcast is also presented by Pin Chasers, three locations around the Tampa Bay area, 50 lanes at 4847 North Armenia, 40 lanes at 5555 West Hillsborough, 38 lanes at 6816 Gale Boulevard in East Pasco, and if you are still looking for summer camps for your kids, Pin Chasers has you covered. Ages 5 to 15, you can register for camp at pinchasers.net or call 813-871-2695. Pinchasers.net, 813-871-2695. Camp dates vary, and they do camps at all three locations. All three that I just named. So you've got the air conditioning inside, which is important for summer camp. There are some outdoor activities, but not enough to where you're not taking advantage of them being indoors. There's free arcade playtime, free personalized bowling ball, shirt, water bottle, snacks, and lunch included at Pin Chasers Summer Camp, ages 5 to 15. Call 813-871-2695. Last edition of the Toddcast, I kind of bounced around on a few things, and I think I'm at that point again today. The first thing I want to talk about is why the National Hockey League wants the San Jose Sharks to win the Stanley Cup. I'd like to know why. I even researched, well, is there an issue in San Jose with the arena? They're playing in the original arena built for the hockey team. And if you remember, the Sharks were the first new team when the NHL really exploded and basically expanded from roughly 20 to where they are now with adding Seattle. They'll be beyond, it'll be what, 32. The Sharks were the beginning of that. Now, they were relocating teams from Canada or Minnesota to Sunbelt cities, but the Sharks were the first new team in a while. The Sharks came before the Lightning and the Senators and the Panthers and the Predators and the Blue Jackets and the Ducks and later, of course, Vegas and now Seattle. So I looked it up, and I've attended an event in San Jose. It's been a while. I attended an arena football game. I actually was a huge fan of the San Jose Sabercats. So when I was out that way a number of years ago, I was actually out there to check out the new Giants baseball stadium, and I drove down to San Jose specifically just to check out downtown San Jose, see some friends, and go to an event, a San Jose Sabercats game at the arena. I know they've done a number of upgrades since then. So I just wondered. I'm like, well, I know the Warriors are moving from Oakland to San Francisco in a privately funded building to relocate the Golden State Warriors. Is something going on with the Sharks needing a new arena, and could a Stanley Cup push it over the top? Or it doesn't appear that way. Sharks fans and people who live out there would know better than me, but it seems as though there isn't this. It's not like the Rays looking for a new stadium in St. Petersburg. It's not like the A's looking for where they're going to play baseball in the future. It doesn't appear to be like that. So I want to know why the NHL wants the San Jose Sharks to win the Stanley Cup, because it certainly looks that way. Last night, I actually left a place near home that I went out to get takeout for dinner, lifelong bachelor that I am, There was the third period had just started and St. Louis was up one goal. And rather than rushing home to watch the end of the game, I had another errand to run and chose to run that errand. And then even when I came home, I said, well, it's the Survivor season finale. I've watched this show for virtually every season it's on. I'm going to watch that. And I'll find out what happened later in the hockey game. Part of the reason was, I thought to myself, this feels like a spot where something strange is going to happen and the Sharks win the game under controversial circumstances. Oh, I don't know, because they won Game 7 of the first round series against Vegas under controversial circumstances, which the league eventually said the officials got wrong. Then there was a disallowed goal in the next series in Game 7 against Colorado, which the league then had to issue a statement about why the goal was overturned. And as one guy, I used to work with a gentleman named Larry Brown at Sporting News Radio, and Larry has a wonderful website, Larry Brown Sports, and he quoted someone who very accurately said, how can you disallow a goal for someone being offsides if he's not legally on the ice for a too many men on the ice penalty? So Colorado's goal was overturned, and instead of the game being 2-2, a moment later it was 3-1, and the Sharks advance again. Also, on the first goal of the series, just a few minutes into game one, at the just inside the blue line with the Blues attacking, Petrangelo did misplay the puck, and as he turned to retrieve it, the San Jose player behind him clearly pushed him down and then skated with the puck in to create an odd man rush, scoring the first goal. There was no call. So last night, my conspiracy theory further fueled by the fact that as I'm watching Survivor, my phone starts blowing up. And I'm thinking, here we go. So since then, I have seen the hand pass that was not called. None of the officials on the ice chose to make a call on a clear hand pass that led to a game-winning goal in Game 3 of the West Finals, and the Sharks win again in controversial fashion. So I would expect by the time this podcast posts, the league will have issued its latest, well, here's the clarification on, and that's supposed to do anything? See, San Jose shouldn't even be playing. They shouldn't be in this series. They shouldn't have been in the previous series. They shouldn't have won Game 7 against Vegas. They were awarded a 5-minute major penalty simply because Joe Pavelski was laying on the ice and there was blood. And the officials got together and said, oh, 5-minute major. As my friend and colleague from VSiN, Gil Alexander, accurately said, the action wasn't penalized, the result was. The league then later said it wasn't a major penalty. Duh. It wasn't. At most, if it had been called at the time of the action, not the result, it's maybe a double major because there's blood. It's maybe a double major, which by definition only allows the Sharks to score twice. Once in one two-man, once in one two-minute man advantage, and once in a second two-man advantage. Not four times as they did in the 5-minute major. So the Sharks shouldn't even be playing, but they still are. And they're still getting a lot of controversial things going their way where the league then says later, well, here's the clarification, or here's where the officials screwed up. It's even become awkward for the quality analyst at NBCSN, guys like Keith Jones, Patrick Sharp, to explain what's going on here, because the integrity of the Stanley Cup playoffs is being mortgaged. So someone needs to tell me why the league wants the Sharks to win the Cup. Why? And if something like this happens in the next round in Boston, with the reputation, the nastiness, the bitterness, the anger of the Boston Bruins fans, let's just say I'm looking forward to that, because that's not going to wash in Boston. If something like that happens to allow the Sharks to win a key game or win the Cup on Boston home ice in front of those fans, they're not going to take it as lightly as the Vegas fans did, the Avalanche fans did, and as the Blues fans are doing, especially under championship circumstances. I'm not encouraging anything such as a riot or otherwise. Let's just say I will sit back, expect something, and be very entertained by it 1,000 miles away. If anyone has any theories on why the league clearly wants the San Jose Sharks to win the Stanley Cup this year, please let me know. My email is toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. The only other thing I really want to bring up today is it's sort of a combination of things. Back to my ESPN days, very early on, before ESPN Radio was 24/7, I was in the mix to get to be involved in the expansion of that programming. I was fortunate with the timing of being basically a part-time radio host at ESPN Radio, and they were going to expand to 24/7. And it felt like I would be involved in that expansion. Now, one of the key cogs of that expansion was that television personality Dan Patrick had shown a lot of interest in doing a radio show. So I still remember one day, there were a couple of people that I knew a little bit that I worked with on the radio side who came up to me and said, "So Dan Patrick's going to want to talk to you." And I said, "Okay. Did I do something wrong?" And I said, no. Just, he's going to want to talk to you about something. So just be prepared. It's a good thing, but just be prepared. He's going to want to talk to you." Okay. So sure enough, it happened. And, you know, back then, having someone like Dan want to talk to you is a big deal. And again, I thought I did something wrong. Turns out I didn't do anything wrong. I may have been involved with a radio segment with him again, but this is before he ever had his own show. He was just a guest on other ESPN radio programming. Well, Dan basically, I forgot how long it took, in a very kind and flattering way, sort of said, "Hey, I'm going to be doing my own show here. Would you be interested in joining me?" And he sort of laid out what became the Dan Patrick Show. And he laid out what my role would be. And he said a lot of nice things to me about why he wanted me to consider doing it. And I said, "Thank you," and I would think about it. And I would let him know very, very shortly. So I did, and then I talked to one or two people who had given me the heads up that he wanted to talk to me. And I told them, I said, "It's very flattering, but I think I'm going to say no." And they said, "Well, why would you do that?" And I said, "Well, I can either be someone working for Dan Patrick on his show, or I can try to realize my own goals of hosting my own show. And I'd rather host my own. For right or wrong, I'd rather have my own show." And some were surprised by that. Some respected that. Maybe a little bit of both. So I told Dan that. And Dan went on, got Rob Dibble to be in that role, and has never looked back. Whether it's been at ESPN or now with NBCSN, with the guys who support his show and what he has done with that radio show. I don't regret it. I just think about it as a very key moment in my life. And a lot of us have those key moments where you have to make a decision on a path. And I made a decision. Would my life have been different had I chosen otherwise? Sure. Would it have been better? Maybe in some ways, maybe not in others. But leading into that, I thought about that because I rarely watch or listen to Dan's show. It's just, it's not convenient for me. For the time that he's on, whether it's television or radio, I'm usually doing other things. But I saw something online sort of reposted that Dan said about the business itself. And that always draws my attention because part of why I chose to get out entirely now, what, 6-7 years ago from full-time work was because I didn't like what the business had become and where it was headed, and I stand by that. And something Dan said this past week sort of reinforces that. Dan talked about, and I didn't listen to all of it, the whole idea of the hot take. Now, you can insert your own personality from television or radio as it relates to the hot take. I view the hot take as the very strong, one-sided opinion often expressed in over-the-top emphatic fashion, sometimes to the point of making a ridiculous argument, which is why I don't watch a lot of those shows and why I don't listen to a lot of sports talk radio. But as Dan said, if you don't have one, it doesn't sell. And Dan doesn't agree with that, and neither do I. So I'm glad someone like Dan said that, because Dan's been through all this, and Dan's still one of the biggest names out there, and I feel for Dan because he's dealing with a bit of a health issue as well. But for Dan to say it, it meant something to me. It meant that I'm not the only one who feels this way. If there's someone else who has succeeded in this business, who feels that way about it too, that makes me feel, I'm not going to say better about my decisions, but it just makes me feel like, yeah, I don't want to be a part of that. So in that vein, I have no hot take on the latest buzz this week about the NFL needing a draft lottery. I know I took a long way to get here, but I've never told the Dan Patrick story about how he wanted me to be on his show. So I don't have a hot take on it. If the NFL wants to do a draft lottery, fine. If the NFL wants to keep the way for determining who picks first, second, third, fourth, all the way down to the Super Bowl champion picking 32nd, I'm fine with it. No, I have no hot take on an NFL draft lottery. I like the NBA draft lottery. I'm a hockey fan. I know there's an NHL lottery. Surprise! Some of you don't. Some of you don't. There is. There's an NHL draft lottery. The thing that's always gotten me about the NBA draft lottery is it's kind of like the old BCS. They're always changing it. It's reactive, not proactive. And I'm sure after the recent result where Zion Williamson goes to the smallest market in professional sports, with New Orleans having a 6% chance of getting the top pick before however this plays out with him, Anthony Davis, etc. I'm sure the NBA will change the odds or the rules of the lottery again. The odd thing for me in the draft lottery is, why do they have each franchise represented by a person who sits there and does nothing? They're on the stage. This isn't a game show. There's no skill involved. There's no picking of cases like Deal or No Deal. I don't know why they're there. Now, if more teams had someone like Jamie Gertz, who's one of the owners of the Atlanta Hawks, representing them, I'm all for it. But all they do, now if the Hawks had gotten the number one pick, I want to see what Jamie Gertz says in the interview to the great Maria Taylor about having the number one pick. That I kind of wanted to see while I had no skin in the game with the Atlanta Hawks. But other than that, I don't know why those people are up there. And Rachel Nichols did need to calm down hosting it a little bit over the top. But if you want to have an NFL draft lottery, go ahead. If you don't, I'm fine with the way it is. Sorry I don't have a hot take, but I don't. And for people that feel strongly about it, go ahead and run with it. I just want the NFL to figure out what the hell they're doing with overtime. That's more important to me than having a draft lottery to determine who gets the hot quarterback. Please figure out how to do overtime. We've talked about it before here on the podcast. Don't have, I know in hockey, you have one rule for the regular season and one rule for the postseason, but that's simply because you have a best of seven series. You must ultimately produce, well, there's other reasons for it, but I don't like NFL overtime as it exists. I want it to be uniform. I want it to be right. And it still feels like something's wrong there. Got to get it right. Get it right and set it and forget it like a good fantasy lineup. The Todd Wright Toddcast is also presented by Wentworth Golf Club. Wentworth Golf Club was the host of Todd Wright Tour XIX, my most recent sold-out golf tournament on May 4th. General Manager Jesse Pratt, a valued employee of the Ace Golf entity in Tampa Bay, was terrific to me and my players. Some of my players actually said it was my best tournament yet. It was my 19th one. I was a little surprised by that, but that's a credit to Jesse Pratt and Wentworth Golf Club and all those who support my events. Wentworth Golf Club is in Tarpon Springs, and if you just want to hit a lot of golf balls in the span of 1 month's time, they have a player development membership for only $49 per month, and you can ask the golf shop for more details. The player development membership includes unlimited range balls. You can go out there every day and hit range balls. It's included. You can go out there every day after 3 p.m., throw a golf bag over your shoulder, and play the course. You can take a cart for $10. It's a $10 cart fee. Also, there are free golf lessons from clinics with Jesse and others Wednesdays and Saturdays. There are other perks with this. It is only $49 a month. You can ask the golf shop for more details. But if you'd like to hit a lot of golf balls in the span of 1 month time and you find Wentworth Golf Club convenient to you geographically, this is a good deal for you. 727-942-4760 or visit wentworthgolfclub.org. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast. We'll talk to you next time.